David, PreOnNet has released news about a link between ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease and prions. What is the discovery?
So for many years, people have known that prions are almost like viruses, but not really viruses. They're proteins that are able to sort of propagate and reproduce in a virus-like way, converting from a healthy form to a pathological or disease form and spreading through the brain. And this is, prions cause mad cow disease in cattle, but they also cause a number of diseases in humans. They're quite rare, but are invariably fatal and cause serious damage to the brain. And prion diseases, for many years, people thought were completely unique, completely bizarre, very isolated, very specialized diseases that had no relevance to, you know, the larger population because they were so rare. So what this discovery does is it tells us that one of the more common neurodegenerative diseases, Lou Gehrig's disease, behaves very much like a prion disease. And it seems to be consistent with other findings that suggest that Alzheimer's disease, which is the most common neurodegenerative disease, also may resemble prion diseases, and that even more diseases, including Parkinson's and several other neurodegenerative diseases, may have the same model of propagation or infection and pathology that prion diseases have. So it's a revelation that's quite earth-shattering in the sense that it may help us finally understand the fundamental causes, not only for Lou Gehrig's disease, but for a whole raft of neurodegenerative diseases, and therefore gives us a defined target and potentially a much more useful way of eventually treating these diseases.
Well, what's the mechanism? I understand that something called an SOD1 protein is involved.
That's right. So the SOD1 is called superoxide dismutase, and it's a protein that the body needs and produces, and it's particularly abundant in certain neurons connected with motor control and parts of the brain that are involved in muscle and motor control. And same thing with the prion protein. It's actually an abundant protein that's found throughout the body, and it functions in a normal way and helps the body maintain copper balances. And like the prion, the superoxide dismutase, or SOD1, sometimes will spontaneously misfold. It'll bend in the wrong way, and when it does that, it will cause other SOD proteins to misfold. And when they start misfolding, they start clumping. And when they start clumping, they start killing the cells that they're in. And that cell death is what leads to the pathologies of Lou Gehrig's disease. It causes the damage to the motor neurons, and it seems to progress and spread from a point and moves down and around to different parts of the brain and different parts of the motor neurons. And it becomes a very progressive and inevitably fatal disease. Prions, same thing. One or two of them misfold, then they cause other normal prions to misfold, and they start clumping together, then the clumps start killing the cells, and then the brain cells start dying wherever those clumps appear. In the case of prion disease, they are focused more in the cerebral cortex, not in the motor neurons, so they cause much more serious functional damage to the brain over a much shorter period of time.
Now that you know that this is part of the mechanism, is there some way of intervening and stopping it?
Well, yes. People have been looking at small molecules that seem to break up clumps of proteins. And some of these were discovered specifically for prion proteins. And so it suggests that maybe some of these small molecules that work for prion proteins might work potentially for ALS. But it also suggests there may be a way of actually developing a vaccine, so that now we know what the bad protein looks like. We can potentially inject people with an attenuated version of the bad protein, and the body will hopefully develop antibodies that would clear the body whenever these bad proteins start appearing. And so the idea of developing prion vaccines has been tested, and There's been similar studies looking at Alzheimer's vaccines, and this might suggest that an ALS vaccine could be developed with this concept of having a misfolded clump of protein as the vaccine.
With many of these diseases that you mentioned, they seem to start very early on, and it's quite a long ways along in their development before someone figures out that they've even got it. If you understand more now about how Lou Gehrig's disease, for example, develops, is there a way of testing people to see if they have the potential for developing it?
That's a challenge, and it's true for all the neurodegenerative diseases that there isn't yet a reliable pre-clinical test. You know, the best way of doing it often is to do an autopsy, and it's also identifying the disease by elimination. There are efforts that people are looking at to try and look for certain chemical or protein biomarkers that tell us, you know, early stages, but we still don't know what triggers the disease. We know what ultimately causes it, but it's the same sort of thing as, you know, who gets the flu and who doesn't. The flu is an infectious disease. Who gets measles and who doesn't? It's an infectious disease, and it's kind of a random thing. And the only way we can sort of prevent people from getting the flu or measles is to give them a vaccine. That's ultimately what we might have to do is to try and push this idea of a vaccine, because we just can't predict who's going to get it. And when they do get it, it looks like just about any other disease. The symptoms are so amorphous and hard to describe that it often takes weeks or months before someone can figure out what the disease is.
The researchers involved in this, there was Dr. Neil Cashman's lab of the University of BC and PreOnNet, and yourself and your team at the University of Alberta. What part did you play in this?
We helped to pair a number of the SOD1 protein variants that they wanted to test. And originally the work was being done sort of with cell-to-cell work or more through cell biology. But to really prove this, or to sort of put the nail in the coffin to convince us that this thing was actually happening using just the protein only, they needed to prepare pure versions of this protein and of several different types of the protein, a broken protein and a complete protein. And we provided both the broken and the complete protein to them so that they could do the final tests to ensure that this template-directed misfolding was actually occurring with SOD1. And we were able to show that that did, and that gave them the final piece of evidence that they convinced them and us that this thing was, in fact, a real phenomenon, and it was something that was occurring being driven by the protein and not maybe just by some cellular events that we didn't understand.
Knowing this, now, how does this advance our knowledge about prions and the role that they do play in all these human diseases?
So I think it kind of goes back to my initial comments that prions were studied because they were a curiosity, but an extremely rare disease. It often happens in science where people will study something obscure and, you know, looking at silicon and its interaction with gallium arsenide, and then out of this obscure work they discover the transistor, and the transistor changes the world. With prions, the discovery that you could actually have a protein that was infectious, it was a curiosity, but people felt it had no application. And over the last couple years, people are saying, well, in fact, no, this seems to be a process by which many neurodegenerative diseases, including the most common ones, like Lou Gehrig's disease, like Alzheimer's, and like Parkinson's, by which they progress. And the thinking, especially for Lou Gehrig's disease, the major philosophy for that was it was a disease of oxidation and inappropriate redox control, and people were basically barking up the wrong tree. That's not the target, that's not the cause, that's not the way to treat it. This really tells us, along with the other compelling evidence that's coming for Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, These are all basically protein misfolding diseases, and that the real targets and the real drugs that we should be working on are the ones that target misfolding and that prevent it, or vaccines that allow the body to clear these bad proteins from the body. And that, I think, gives us real hope that we're looking into the right place for the cure, and that if we know what we have to treat and if we know what we have to get rid of, then finding drugs or finding vaccines is much, much easier.
What do you see as being the next step?
Well, I imagine there'll be work going on to potentially develop a vaccine or vaccine-like system, testing it on mammals and then potentially on humans. I think there'll be some work as well developing certain types of drugs that break up the clumps of SOD1, and there's some promising ones that people have identified already, not ourselves, but have been described in the literature. So I think there'll be, you know, a new thrust. I think I would hope a redirection for the community, where, you know, for more than 30 years, half the community has been focusing on, I think, the wrong part, this oxidation part of the disease. And if they could redirect their efforts to finding things that prevent or stop or remediate the misfolding, then I think we'd have something that could be useful for people with the ALS, who knows, in 5 or 10 years.
David, it's exciting news. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome.